I'm in my version, which is New Living Translation, so I'm sorry it's a bit different. But it's all roughly the same effect. So here we go. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he's given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So the theme for this morning was a prayer for spiritual vision, which is really cool. And I've kind of drawn out that title a little bit more into perceiving what God is doing. Because honestly, right now, with where the church is at, I think that would be a good thing. We need to know what God's doing, because he is doing. He's doing things in our church family. So from the context of perceiving what God is doing, what does spiritual vision look like? What have we seen from God in the past? What does it look like when God's vision plays out? Now, kids, I need some help here from at least two volunteers who have some experience with construction of coloured bricks, specifically coloured bricks. One, come on up. I need one more at least, please, because we are on a time. Let's go. Let's do it. In this bag, you will find all the utensils you need to construct a tower. It can have walls, but it needs to be high enough sort of to roughly there. Can you manage that? Let's go. Well, my two useful volunteers are building that. If we look back through the Bible, there's been quite a few instances where God has been doing stuff and it looks completely different to how you might expect him to do it. First thing I thought of was actually Moses. Who could have thought that the child of a slave could be rescued from his intended fate so amazingly by the very people who were out to kill him? And then becoming, in effect, a criminal and having to leave the place of his birth for years, set up completely new, and then go back again to lead his people through, oh my goodness, what on earth did he lead them through? The sea's just split in front of me. That bush is on fire. There's a thunderstorm on the mountain. I'm going to walk into that. Seriously, you couldn't possibly imagine from the beginning how Moses' life would play out and how God used him. Jump forward to David, because why wouldn't I? Seriously, this young guy who takes care of sheep, it's one of the lowest positions in his society, and the journey he goes on, really, really dangerous journey at times, to end up as the king of his nation under God. And then we come, wow, look at that. That just appeared out of nowhere. Round of applause, that's some serious work. Well done, gents, thanks. You can have a seat. And then we get to, if we think about Jericho for a minute. Okay, we've got the Israelites who've just spent 40-odd years walking through the desert, walking through the middle of nowhere and just trusting that God is going to take them. Everything that that journey in itself means. And they get to the first proper fortification that they have to get through and conquer. I'd be scared. I'd be thinking, God, what What are you doing? Look at those guys. They're absolute nutcases. They're going to kill us. But actually, if you look at the journey that God's taking them on, this is a nation of people who are seriously tough now because they've just spent 40 years walking through the desert. They're like millions of Bear Grylls all coming at your city. I'd run. But then when they get to the city, this army that's been led by a strange god that the Canaanites don't really know anything about except, oh my goodness, he parted an ocean. They walk round it. They just walk round it. And then they go back. It's like, oh, they've gone. That was weird. The Israelites probably thought it was pretty weird as well, right? They come back the next day. And they walk round it again. And I don't know about you, but if I was an Israelite, I'd be feeling pretty silly right then. Because it's like, God, what are you doing? We're just walking. We're still walking here. Why are we still going? We're still moving. Why are we still going? I don't know. What's he? I don't know. I'm not God. They're still going round and round for a week. A whole week just walking round the place you're trying to take. It's like, surely you know where the weak points are by now, guys. No, there are no weak points. This thing has walls miles high. But they're trusting God. They're trusting in God's vision, not their own. Because if it was you and me, we'd just walk up to it and think, right, I'll get a siege tower there, and if I just get a battering ram into that gate there and that corner there, nope, walk around it and worship while you're walking as well. There's a point. And then on the seventh day, oh, they're back again. Yeah, they're walking around again. No, wait a minute. No, they're still going. They've gone around again. They're coming back. They're going around again. Are you done yet? No. They walk around seven times in silence. I would be freaking out. If I was on that wall, I'd be thinking, what are they doing? Because they're so quiet. And then they shout. When they've gone round the seventh time, they shout. And this is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people with trumpets and a great big golden ark of the covenant in front of them. And they're shouting at the walls. And that's when God goes like this. Didn't see that coming. God's vision looks so different to anything you can possibly imagine. So what does all these amazing stories from Moses and David and the tower, the walls of Jericho, what does that look like for you and me at St. Mark's in Saltney today? What does it look like for the mums at the toddler groups or the guys volunteering at the food bank or people at work, people at school? What does it look like to try and perceive God's vision, to try and understand what God is doing? I need two more volunteers, preferably different ones this time, preferably small, because you need to have quite a small head. Can I get two volunteers? One? One more? Well done. You're very brave. One of you put these on, please. Thank you. For the benefit of the tape, these are glasses which have masking tape all around them. How well can you see currently? Okay. It's all right. You can see to the side. Can you see directly in front of you? Can you see my hand now? Good. Daisy is going to lead you to the back of the church and back to the front. Is that all right? Cool. You can talk to her. I will hold your dog. You can talk to her, you can guide her, but make sure you don't lead her into a table or a chair or anything. Sorry, Andy and Lauren, in advance. Well done. Now, while they're doing that, what does it look like to see God's vision? Yeah? Because She can see a bit. She can see to the sides. You can see what's going on around you. I can't see what's going on over there in the distance in 1 year, in 2 or 5 or 10 years' time. We can see that we've got a cafe opening next door. Well done for avoiding the hot coffee. We can see that we've got a cafe opening next door this week. But we can't see what that's going to look like in 5 years' time. But we know it's from God. We know that's his part of his vision for the church. Well done, you two. You're very confident. Look at that. Well done. You can take the glasses off now. Take them off. Well done. You made it. Have you got all your limbs? Have you got all your teeth? No hot coffee fell on you or anything like that. Well done. Very good. Round of applause again. That was very... Here's your dog. All right. You get it later. It feels like... I'm going to ask our amazing worship team to come up. I asked a friend once when I was at a place in my life and I don't know what God's asking me to do. What do you make of this? And he said, Dave, it's like you're driving a car and you've got to have dim headlights in the dark. Sometimes you just got to trust. And that's what we've got to do. St. Mark's is, we're a church family who are clearly on a journey. And we have a God who is moving in this church. Make no mistake about that. We have a God who is moving, a vicar who's a visionary, and we have a congregation who are hungry. I know you've just had breakfast, but is anyone in this room hungry to see what God's going to do in our church family? I know you've just had breakfast, but is anyone in this room hungry? God is moving very clearly through us in this time, in this moment today. And it's for us to discern or to try and understand, as far as our tiny human minds can, where it is he's taking each one of us individually and each one of us as part of this church family, as part of a whole. And since having that word about dim headlights and stuff, when I've asked God more recently, God, what are you doing? None of this that's going on around me makes any sense. Do you know what he said most recently? Keep coming. So if you do see glimpses just to the sides of what God's doing, by all means go after them. But remember that you'll never actually see the full picture until it arrives in front of you. And it will, without doubt, look almost entirely different to how you expected it to. I don't think this cafe that's starting up this week will look anything like Henny has had the vision for it. I honestly don't. It will always look different to your expectation. But that's what a move of God looks like. So as we come back into worship, and please stand if you're able, if this is something that you want, or you want more of, or you're just plain hungry for it, I invite you to stand or do something that shows that now. And we say together, God, we have no idea what you're doing, but we are up for it. There's nothing in our hands, but here we are, send us. God, please give us spiritual wisdom and insight so that we might grow in our knowledge of you. Fill our hearts with light so that we can understand our confident hope and the incredible greatness of your power as we believe in you. I invite you now, if this is something you want, hold your hands out in front of you in one way or another, whatever it means to you. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but in the world to come. Whatever that looks like. So we pray for the church family that we are this morning, here in Saltney, here at St. Mark's. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would make us more hungry and that you would satisfy that hunger. As you do things in and around us, that we have to just stop and stare for a moment and think, wow, before we keep coming. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,